Hi everyone, Joe Tamburino here at Tamburino Talks Law, talking about the Derek Chauvin case. You know, one thing that we've heard a number of times is something called motions in limine, and that's L-I-M-I-N-E. It's a technical term, Latin term, used in law, and all it means is motions at the beginning of the case, the threshold of the case. And motions in limine are basically this. Either side can raise these motions to the judge saying, Judge, we don't want X, Y, and Z coming into evidence. Or if it does come into evidence, we want X, Y, and Z to be limited in form and scope. And that's basically what happens. Both sides in this case, the prosecution and the defense, had numerous motions in limine, and the judge has pretty much resolved all of them with different orders. But one thing that does come up, and it will continue to come up, is what's called prior act evidence. And here's what that means. When you have a case, either side, the prosecution or the defense, and you wish to raise prior act evidence on a party in the case or someone who is involved in the case, you have to make a specific motion to the court under Minnesota Rule of Evidence 404B and state why you want to bring in these prior acts. Now, normally it's the prosecutor who comes into court and says, hey, Judge, the defendant has a number of prior acts. Some of these acts are criminal acts or suspicious acts. Some of them are not crimes at all. It's just the way that they operate. And we need to admit these as evidence for whatever reason that they're giving. Other times, usually in the minority of cases, you will have a defendant who says, hey, Judge, we want to admit prior acts of the alleged victim, whether those acts might be criminal or some type of identifying situation, whatever it is, and then they give reasons. But here's what you have to listen to when you hear these debates. Prior act evidence can be very, very powerful because it strays into the area of character evidence. And character evidence is almost never admissible at trial. A prosecutor can't, in any point in his or her case, say the defendant is a bad person. Or the defendant, pretty much in any part of their case, can't say the victim is a bad person. That's character evidence, and it's not admissible. There are certain exceptions to that. A defendant is allowed to raise good character on his own, and issues of credibility and truthfulness may also be explored within witnesses. But for the most part, character evidence isn't admissible. So when we get into the area of prior acts, it does have that danger of bleeding into character evidence. So let's explore what prior acts are. Let's use, for an example, a case of burglary. Someone who's accused of burglarizing a cabin in northern Minnesota. And this person is on trial, and the prosecutor says to the judge, Judge, we believe that this person has burglarized several other cabins in this area because it's the same method of operation. It shows the same intent. It shows the same scheme or plan. And here's what it is. In all of these situations, it was a cabin in a secluded area. The cabin was burglarized between 4 and 5 a.m., always during the week. A specific burglary tool was used to gain entrance. And in fact, the only things that were taken were alcohol, some jewelry, and electronics. And the prosecutor makes an argument to the court saying that, look, these are prior acts that show this defendant's method of operation, common scheme or plan, his intent on how to pull off a burglary, and that's why we want to admit them in court. Now, there are a number of legal issues that surround all this, but suffice it to say, the judge has to decide whether to admit that prior act evidence. Now, think about it. If prior act evidence comes in, Well, you know, that could be really powerful for the state because it shows that this defendant committed crimes before. And the prosecutor will then use the term prior bad act evidence. So the judge has some weighty issues to decide when he or she makes the determination as to whether or not prior act evidence comes in. Now, you may also hear that when prior act evidence involves bad acts or crimes, it's called Spriegel evidence. That term comes from a Minnesota Supreme Court case back in 1965, State versus Spriegel, and that's spelled S-P-R-E-I-G-L. And it states that in certain situations, a prosecutor can use prior bad acts to show that this defendant has a method of operation, common scheme or plan, intent, even arguments over lack of mistake as to what he or she was doing. And the judge has to then decide whether or not that should come in. Now, the reverse is also true. A defendant can say, hey, wait a minute, judge, this alleged victim also has prior acts or prior bad acts. Sometimes they will refer to this as a reverse Spriegel, and they will ask the judge to admit those acts. Now, in this case, State of Minnesota versus Derek Chauvin, the prior act evidence is being brought by both the prosecution and the defense. The prosecution has sought to admit a number of different things about Mr. Chauvin, and the judge has narrowed that down to two. Basically, how Mr. Chauvin acted as a police officer in a situation where the state says that he used unreasonable force, as well as in another situation to show that Mr. Chauvin knows that certain maneuvers, like a knee on the neck, can be dangerous. But the defense is also requesting prior act evidence, specifically Mr. Floyd's May 2019 arrest. The judge made a ruling that the May 2019 arrest, pretty much a year before this incident, Mr. Floyd, his actions with the police and what he was doing at that time, is admissible in this case, but in a very limited way. The judge said that in the May 2019 arrest, the issue of Mr. Floyd not complying with the arresting officer, taking drugs and chewing on those drugs while the officer was arresting him, and his medical situation with the paramedic when the paramedic was attending to him, may be admitted at this trial in order to show that Mr. Floyd had a common scheme or plan, meaning that when he's confronted by police and has drugs, he will eat the drugs, and that he knows the potential risks of taking drugs because he's not a novice user of drugs. And he knows that if he takes drugs, he could be in a situation that would be troubling medically for him, as well as the same type of method of operation that he doesn't comply when the officers first approach him. So this is how prior act evidence will be used in the case. Now, we don't know exactly how it will unfold until either side, the prosecutor with the two prior acts of Mr. Chauvin, or the defense attorney with the May 2019 arrest of Mr. Floyd, plays out. It's up to the attorneys how they actually put in the evidence and how they argue it. But we do know that both sides now have an opportunity to admit prior act evidence.